Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we love you, and Lord, God, it's a blessing to be here, and like I said, I pray, God, you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, and God, give me liberty, and help me to make sense, and help me to be a blessing to your people, Lord, they come to hear from you, and they need you, Lord. And God, we can't make it without you. We need your grace. So, Lord, please just come and meet. I pray, God, it's not in vain. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would turn your Bible to Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter 3, it's going to be going along with this morning's service about a wounded spirit. And when you read this context here, you'll see what I'm talking about. I talked about some things in the house happening and wounding. And you'll see in this context who's behind the wounding and who's behind the division at your house. And in Mark chapter 3, verse 24, and if a kingdom, you can notice it or underline it or highlight it. There's some words there you'll see in verses 24 through 26. It shows up three times, each of these two words. It says divided in verse 24, verse 25, divided, and then verse 26, divided. And then it says three words there, cannot, verse 24, verse 25, cannot, and verse 26, cannot. So we're going to read verse 24, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. So when you read the context, you find out quickly who wants division in your home. And this is why authority must be recognized in every facet of our life. It must be recognized in the military to have an efficient military force. It must be recognized in the workplace to have a business working and running at its best. Authority must be recognized in the church. And I'm not talking about a Baptist pope and a Baptist dictator in the pulpit, but I'm talking about recognizing the man of God's position, the pastor's position, or your church will become ineffective for the cause of Christ. But the same also goes for the home. Satan wants division in your home. And Satan will come in your home if you let down your guard. One person said that rebellious children, wives, or other people within a household are legal ground for Satan to attack. The Lord wants peace in your home, but the devil wants problems. And the devil wants to make your home not a haven, but a hell on earth. And the devil knows what to bring into your home. And there's some things that he knows. He knows that contention causes division. It's amazing. I've been in homes and everybody's smiling at me like a Ken and Barbie doll. And everything, they look like everything's fine. But you can cut the air with a knife. Something's not right because there was an argument that happened before you came over or something's going on. Cockiness causes division. Unnecessary criticism, like I mentioned earlier, causes division. Carnality in a home causes division. For example, when you got one family member in the church who wants to live for God and go to church and read their Bible and pray, and then a spouse doesn't, or the kids don't, that causes a lot of division. Confusion causes division, such as when each person in the home does not recognize their place in the home, there will be confusion, which will lead to division. You must recognize your position. Everyone must know their place in the home. And see, God spoke of marriage in terminology such as unifying things, such as cleaving and one flesh. And the unity between the husband and wife is the very foundation of the family's unity. Unity in the home is of absolute, I cannot stress enough to you, is of absolute necessity for peace to be in your home. Unity. Whether it's on the family budget or ideas on raising the children or determining the spiritual direction of your family, whatever the issue is and may be, the husband and wife must unite together for God's blessings on their home. And when it comes to decision-making in the family, the scriptures make it very clear the husband and the father has the final say. When the Lord appeared to them in the garden, he didn't go to Eve first. He didn't go to the devil. He went first to the man. Man, you've got to give an account of your home and the way you run it. And Satan is working overtime in these last days to destroy the family unit, whether it's shows on TV, whether it's movies, whatever the case may be, he's doing whatever he can to destroy the headship of the home. And we're commanded in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, to not be ignorant, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. But what are some of Satan's tactics to cause division in the home? And I know there are many tactics of the devil to cause division in the home, but I just want to name to you, for the sake of time, just a couple of them. Well, I want to preach to you real quickly a sermon title, Is the Devil Down at Your House? Is the Devil Down at Your House? So first of all, I'm going to preach to the men. Number one, the husband can cause the devil to come down to his house in various ways. And one of the ways he can do that is when he does not demonstrate his love towards his wife. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. Now, I know there's different groups of Baptists out here. There's the one that wants to stay away from any family preaching because that ain't right. And you got the other one that stays all doctrine and all their families are in a mess. I like to be balanced. Okay? And I think that we shouldn't avoid, because see, if you don't have strong families, you will never have a strong, effective church. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 5 and notice in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 19. Again, it's commanded, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So let me just ask you this question, ladies. You can answer it or not answer it. What is the number one thing that every wife wants to feel from her husband? Thank you. Hey, y'all paying attention, amen? Makes it easy. See, a woman wants to be deeply loved by her husband. A woman has got to have that shown to her. And a woman who's uncertain of her husband's love will never feel secure in their marriage. Now, I'm going to ask you, men, how much does your wife know you love her? When's the last time you told her? When's the last time you showed her? A woman needs to be told over and 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 over again, that you love her. Why? I don't know. Ask God. He made them that way, okay? But love can be shown in many ways. Love can be shown by buying flowers. I know, even though they're going to die, you can still buy them. Love can be shown by taking your wife out to dinner, and I'm not talking about Mickey D's. Love can be shown to your wife by holding the door open for her. Your Honor, my wife is just being ridiculous. Most women would love to have a husband who still believes in chivalry, and I was only opening the door for her out of chivalry. The judge said, Mr. Smith, he said, I cannot believe chivalry was your motivation while you were driving 65 miles per hour. One time a newly married couple returned for their honeymoon. As they got off the plane at the crowded airport, the bride said, darling, let's make the people think that we've been married a long time. And the husband looked at her and said, okay, dear, carry the bags. Well, I'm glad you got a good sense of humor here, amen. I had one time a guy tell me, he said, if you make my people, this is no joke, I haven't preached for him since then. But he said, if you make my people laugh one time or say anything funny, I'll never, What a dry, dead church, amen. Being like that. Man, you got the laugh, amen. There's nothing wrong with having a good sense of humor. Hey, love can be shown by running to the store for her. And I'm not going to mention it, but there's certain things I will not buy for my wife. Let's put it that way. But I'll buy a lot of other things, amen? And sometimes it's inconvenient to go to the store and buy some things. A man one time entered a drugstore years ago, and he asked the pharmacist for a cure for hiccups. And the pharmacist reached out immediately and slapped him across the face. And the man asked angrily, what did you do that for? And the pharmacist said, well, you don't have the hiccups anymore, do you? And the man said, no, but my wife out in the car still does, amen? And, you know, sometimes it's inconvenient to run to the store. You know what I mean? I mean, I remember my wife was pregnant and weird cravings and you got to go out. And I don't know. But anyway, just do it for your wife because you love her. But love can be shown to your wife by you working hard to provide for her. I mean, women really do appreciate it when they have a man who's willing to work two jobs so they can stay home and raise the kids. Now, before you say, well, I know there's exceptions. The husband's disabled. He can't work, whatever. The wife's got. I understand all that. But a woman really does, down in her heart, appreciate a man who's willing to work and work hard to provide for her needs and the kids' needs. There's a respect to it. One time a guy came home to his wife and said, guess what? He said, I found a great job. A 10 a.m. start, 2 p.m. finish, no overtime, no weekends, and it pays $800 a week. And his wife said, "That's great." He said, "Yeah, I thought so too. You start Monday." And the thing is, how can you demonstrate love towards your wife? How can you demonstrate love? Well, you can dote on her. Dote on her. Your wife needs you to dote on her. Your wife needs you to shower your affection on her. Holding her in your arms means so much to a woman. I talk about holding your own wife in your arms, amen? And she wants you to embrace her tightly. Now, I must admit, I'm not a touchy-feely, kind of huggy, kind of guy like that. I'm not like that at all. My wife is very affectionate. I didn't grow up like that. I didn't really get much hugs or much kisses from my mom at all. But hey, something about it. You know, my wife likes it when I hold her and squeeze her and she's harder and her eyeballs are popping out and I'm giving her a chiropractic adjustment at it. But they like it. I don't understand, but just do it. Amen. Give her your undivided attention. One of the things you can do is give her undivided attention. A song of Psalm, and you find the bridegroom listens to his wife, his bride, talk to him over and over again. And he does not get weary of her voice. He does not say, "What now? Get on with it. Get to the point. I got things to do. I already know." Don't ever tell your wife she's such a nag, amen, when she's just making a suggestion. It's not a very long message, amen. Hey, you know what else you can do to show your wife you love her? Demonstrate it by being willing to drop some things. Be willing to drop some things that can wait. You know, if your wife needs you, and I'm not saying for every little thing, but I'm saying about, there are some things your wife needs your help with, and you got to drop some things, whatever you're doing, to be there for her. As men, we all have things to do, but nothing should be more important, of course, after God, than your wife. And you should be there to help her. One guy didn't even go to see his wife deliver their first baby because he was staying home watching the Super Bowl. I hope you didn't do that, amen? All right, now let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 again. So that was just a little bit for the men. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll look at Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, and Ephesians 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Ephesians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Well, the wife can cause the devil to come down to her house in various ways. And one of the ways is when she's domineering. When she's domineering. What is the number one thing? Now, I don't know if you men are allowed to answer this, so I'll answer. I'm just joking, amen. But what is the number one thing that men want their wife to do? Follow them. Just follow them. Submit. See, when I say lead the home, I'm not talking about being a tyrant either, okay? Being a jerk and ruling your house with an iron rod and iron fist. It reminds me one time of a husband who was advised by a psychiatrist to assert himself more. He wasn't manly enough, he felt. He said, "You don't have to let your wife henpeck you. Go home and show her you're the boss." And of course, the husband ran home. He took the psychiatrist's advice, hopped in his car, got home. Then he slammed the door. He shook his fist in his wife's face and said, "From now on, woman, you're taking orders from me." He said, "I want my supper right now. And you get it on the table. Go upstairs and lay out my best clothes. I'm going out with the boys, and you're going to stay at home where you belong. And here's another thing. Do you know who's going to comb my hair and adjust my pants and tie my tie?" And his wife calmly looked at him without even looking up and said, "I certainly do. The Undertaker." What I'm talking about is the man being obeyed and the man being respected by his wife. A man wants his wife to follow him to the end of the world. The man wants to know that his wife is standing beside him and not standing behind him and have an attitude. A man does not want his wife to get an attitude with him doing what the Lord wants him to do. There are guys, unfortunately, who will not be in the ministry because of their wife. Or they will not do this or one of that. And you know what? There are some women that say, "Well, you know, the Bible says I had to submit, so I'll do it." But they don't do it with a good attitude. They do it grudgingly. It's very important, sisters. Your attitude makes the atmosphere of the home good or bad. A woman's influence is very powerful in the home. You with me? Men really resent a bossy woman. Men really resent a domineering woman. I remember being in the military. How many of you have ever been in the military before? All right, well, you know, you're not missing anything today, but years ago it was probably a lot better. And I'll tell you this reason. We had a woman drill sergeant. Now, I know I sound chauvinistic, Maybe it's part Italian in me, I don't know. But we had a drill sergeant woman in basic training come to us and yell at us and curse at us. And I must admit, I was lost. But this woman got on my nerves. And something about a woman yelling at me, you know what I realized then and there? That I'm never going to marry a yeller. Okay? That just grates me. I can't picture someone yell. You know, and I want to yell at her for yelling at me. But you know, if I would have yelled at her for yelling at me, I would have got a lot of trouble. Amen. A man and his wife one time sat in their car after a fight, and the man was so angry he clammed up and refused to talk. And his wife, however, sat in the back and started to continue to berate him for his faults. And in her excitement, she pounded on the car door, and it flew open. And several blocks later, one of the neighbors flagged him down and said, "Hey, your wife fell out of the car back there." And the man looked over at the back seat and turned to his neighbor and said, he said, "Thank goodness that I thought I had lost my hearing." You know, men typically do not like their authority to be challenged over and over. A good husband, in reality, doesn't mind getting opinion from his wife. I don't. I thank God, and you men can agree with me about this. Aren't you thankful for the times you have listened to your wife? I mean, just when you were about to make a stupid decision, you're like, "I don't know, I think you need to think it out." You're like, "Oh, woman." And then you realize, you know, the men, you know, being the man, "Oh, whatever." You walk away going, "Man, that kind of makes me second guess." I thank God for the times I've listened to my wife. How about you men? Are you not glad for the times you listen to your wife? I mean, your wife's got some wisdom. Praise the Lord. But the point I'm trying to make is that I believe that the Lord will bless any home where the woman follows her husband's leading with a good attitude. You know, there's a book, Created to Be His Helpmeet. Good book. And my wife is reading some of that stuff. I thank God because it helped her realize what category I'm in. And you can probably guess, do I seem like a command man? Amen? But there are some things, this is a joke, but there are some things that you want to avoid doing to your husband. And one of them is domineering. And there are other things I want to mention real quickly that will cause the pieces to depart from your home. One of them is, as well, is being deceitful. Deceitful. When you're not totally honest with your husband when he asks you a question and you withdraw from him, he's going to withdraw from you. For example, you say, I know what happens. "Well, when I tell my husband what I really feel and what I really think, he just blows up." Well, you know what? Let God deal with them. Let God convict them. But you, on the other hand, sister, line out one to another. You had to speak the truth in love. And if your husband blows up, then he's not right with God. But listen, your husband has to know that he can trust you. He should be able to trust you with all those struggles and all his fears, knowing that he can confide in you. The heart of her husband, though, safely trusts in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Hey, another way is when you disrespect them. When you disrespect them. When you put your husband down in front of other people, boy, that make a man mad. When you put your husband down in front of your mother and father, the in-laws, that ain't good. A husband will get bitter. You know what a husband will do? He'll sit there and he'll bite his tongue. I say, okay. And he'll start losing respect for you. A man wants to be honored, and a man wants to be esteemed in his own home. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, reverence your husband. That means respect, and a good respect, and a high respect. You know, there's some women that have no problem respecting a boss or respecting some other male authority. They have a problem respecting their own husband. That's why I say, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. There's some women that have no problem at all getting a boss, if they work a secular job, getting the boss a coffee. But if their husband asks you, "It's in the pot," you wouldn't have a job for very long if you said it to the boss. Hey, when you discourage him, when you constantly tell him that he's not the husband he ought to be, that'll wear on him, and then he'll eventually give up trying to be better. Robinson, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 26, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." I wonder, sisters, how do you talk at home? You know, there are some women that come to church, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah, God's so good to me, I just want to thank God for doing this." And at home, "Now you heard me, now you sit down, you shut up." I hope you're not like that in the home, discouraging him, disrespecting him, being deceitful. How about this, when you defraud him? Now, I'm not going to go all into detail about that. But when you tell him over and over and over and over, "Not tonight, dear, because you got a headache," you need to get your head checked out. Because maybe you got a tumor or something, amen? Listen, when that man feels rejected and he feels unloved over and over and over, remember that defrauding will bring the devil down to your house. See, what does that all men think about? they're constantly bombarded by it. Billboards, malls, TV, everywhere they go. And it's not wrong for your husband to desire you. It's not a sin. Hey, how about this? You believe the Word of God? Do you believe this to be your final authority? Let me ask you a question. Do you? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 says, defraud ye not one the other, except to be with consent for a time, they may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, as Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Satan will tempt you. And last of all, look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The children can cause the devil to come into the house when they turn a deaf ear to their parents, when they turn a deaf ear to their parents. What is the main thing that every parent wants from their children? To listen. Listen, respect, obey. Hear me out. That's why he says time and time again, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Again, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. You know, I'll be honest with you, youth. You know, parents don't like getting on you all the time about listening to them. And as a youth, you need to listen to your parents and respect their authority. I don't know what it is. You see people and just the way, you know what? You better thank God you were raised in a Christian home. You better thank God that the Bible was the focal point and you were taught the Word of God and you were brought to church and learned to sing hymns. You better thank God for a saved mother. Well, they're not perfect. Neither are you. And I can't stand what I call them Christian brats. They're very unthankful. They're very ungrateful. Their parents have done everything they can to help meet their needs and provide for them. And they got this stinking, flipping attitude. Like when you talk to them like this, talk to the hand. And I'm not being mean, I'm not venting on you, but I'm just telling you the truth, man. I was not raised in a Christian home. I wish to God that I was raised in a Christian home. Maybe I would not be reaping the consequences of what I'm reaping now. But I didn't know any better. I had no spiritual instruction whatsoever. And when you don't respect your parents' authority, you know what it does? It causes division in the home. And as a youth, you need to do your best not to cause division between you and your parents. Do you know why maybe your relationship's not the best with your parents? Do you know why? When they keep reaching out and reaching out and reaching out and trying to make time for you and want to talk to you, and you just have this attitude. You know what that is, right? Texting. Yeah. Put the phone down. Not the gun. Put the phone down. Let's talk. But you know what? Maybe your relationship's not good with your parents is because you got an attitude and you won't make it right. Well, why'd they come to me? They've been coming to you. You haven't been making time for them. I don't know about you. I don't want division between me and my kids. How about you? Because I know the devil will do whatever he can to cause that to happen. And I don't want to lose my kids. I don't know about you. But as a youth, you need to do your best not to cause a division between you and your parents. As a youth, you need to do your best to not drive a wedge between your mother and father. Well, mom said I can, but what did I say? You ever have your kids work around behind the scene? No, not my kid. I know. They're perfect. But those of you who are honest, and your kid's not on Prozac, amen, listen. You know as well as I do, they'll work, and then you go to your wife and you say, hey, I told them no. Well, I didn't know. They asked me. Kids know how to manipulate. And as a youth, you need to do your best not to manipulate one parent against the other parent to get your way. Because the other parent said, no, you don't like it. I don't want you hanging out with that person. I don't want you going with that person. I don't think you should do that. I don't think. Well, that doesn't matter. Mom, doesn't matter. My wife and I, we have a policy in the home. And I mean it. I'm not trying to sound chauvinistic. Some of you, you probably get me wrong. Okay? All I know is that if I said no, that's no. And my wife will say, what did Dad say? You know, it causes a lot less division in my home because my wife has my side. It's not the kids driving a wedge between us. I hope you're not driving a wedge between your mother and father. I hope you don't make your home a hell and a grief and a burden. I hope you're not the very cause for your mom and dad's marital tension in the home. As a youth, you need to not only listen to your parents, but you need to determine to have a good disposition. A good disposition. Not only be aware of driving a wedge, but have a good disposition towards your siblings. You know, do your siblings find it extremely difficult to get along with you? Well, that's the way they are. They don't understand me. You're against everybody. Did you, after a while, realize that maybe your three sisters or three brothers, maybe you're the problem because you cause a lot of trouble? As a youth, you need to do your best to get along with your other siblings. I'll give you an example. There was one time a mother, and she was preparing pancakes for her two sons. Kevin was 5 years old, and Ryan was age three. And the boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. And their mother, of course, saw a great opportunity for a spiritual lesson. She said, if Jesus were sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait. And Kevin, the 5-year-old, turned to his younger brother, the 3-year-old, and said, okay, Ryan, you be Jesus. Amen. Isn't that the way it is? You know, you try to teach a lesson, they don't, whatever. But see, when you're fighting with your other siblings, it really causes division in them. Okay, so, you know, I told my kids one time, I know, like I said, I'm not Mr. Tactful. Okay? So pray for me about that. I mean, really. I mean, I'm sort of too blunt. But one day my kids were arguing or fighting, and I said, okay, they're getting on your nerves, right? You're always fighting, right? I mean, it was like a string of fighting all the time. Okay, I said, I'll tell you what. Why don't we just pray that God kills one of you? I mean, really, because if that they're that bad of a brother or that bad of a sister, why don't you just pray God kills them? You say, well, that's terrible. I said, and they looked at me all shocked. I mean, like you do. Like, man, this guy is crazy. Well, that's what they said years ago. But anyway, you know, and here's the deal. I was trying to drive a point home. You better thank God for your brother. You better thank God for your sister because you don't know how long you do have them. It's not time to fight and devour and bite and devour one another and get an attitude with one another and say, how can I get you back? And get listen, when you're fighting with your other siblings, it really causes tension in the home. You need to get along. You need to learn to get along with others in the home because the home does not revolve around you. Here's what I hate. Do you know how much of the worldly philosophy has creeped into our Christianity today? I'll give you an example. Well, you know, that's the way brothers are. They fight. You know, that's the way they're... No! No! That's the way the world is. As Christians, we're to be kind one to another. We're to dwell together in unity. We're not to be like the lost world. Well, that's just the way... No. It's not right for a brother to punch another brother. I'm sorry. It's not right for a sister to pull another sister's hair. It's not right. I know you all laugh because you've seen stuff like that. So have I, amen. You know? How far can these eyeballs go in, you know? It's not a doll. Put your baby brother down, you know? But when your parents tell you to work things out, let me ask you a question. When your parents tell you to work things out between your other brother or sister, do you? Or do things have to go your way? Fine. Sorry. Oh, that was really good. Slam, door slam. Things break, things fall apart. As a youth, you need to do your best to not let the devil down in your house through defilement. Defilement. You know, there are some youth that act real spiritual. They really do. They dress a certain way in church, and then they dress a certain way at home, and then they put some stuff in the backpack they ought not to, and they change, and they look like the world when they leave the home. Oh, yeah, there are people that do that. There are youth that do that. So how do you know? I preach to them. I'm not stupid. I don't look like the brightest guy, but I know youth. Because you know why? I was a teenager. And I know some of the things they do behind their parents' back. And as a youth, you need to determine to not give place to the devil in your home. If you have anything in your home you're hiding from your parents, you need to get it out. I don't think it's cool for teenagers to run around saying, I think he likes you or I think she likes you. Don't even go that route. Stay away from that. And don't even try to encourage another teenager to like someone when they weren't even thinking that way. You understand that? You have no business as a 14, 15, 16, 17. Forget it. Because it's going to really put you on an emotional roller coaster and cause you to do things you'll later on regret. Oh, I can ask God to forgive me. Yep, but there's some things you can never get back, and one of them is your purity. Oh, it doesn't happen in Christian church. Oh, what do you? You think it's a little house on the prairie? You think nothing goes wrong in churches? Hey, whether it's pornography, and there's youth that are doing that. There's youth that are doing that. Or downloading wicked music on their iPod. Or sexting. That's sending naked pictures to others with texting capability. See, that doesn't happen. Man, you're in a cloister? Monastery or something? This stuff is going on. I'll talk about in Christian schools and in Christian homes when the mom and dad are not around. You need to get it out of your house, whatever you got that you're hiding from your mother and father. Last of all, I want to say this as a youth. You need to decide to help defend your family. Defend your family. You know what? I remember one time my wife and I, we were sitting in our fifth wheel. And this young man came over, and I'm not going to name his name. He's not in this church, so don't evil surmise. But I was sitting in the fifth wheel, and this young man came over, and he was helping us with some things, which I won't mention. And make a long story short, he just started going on about his mom and dad and how they have marital trouble and how they got this and that and how this and that. And I thought, you know what? There, I'll be honest with you. Maybe because I'm Italian and maybe it's like a mafioso code. I don't know. Well, people ask us questions. We don't know anything. Okay? So what I'm saying to you is, it's like this. I tell my kids, if anybody wants to ask you questions, okay, that you don't feel comfortable with, you send them my way. See, it's not time for people in a church to interrogate my kids. You know, what does your mom wear at home? What do you guys watch? Where do you guys go? None of your business. Okay? I don't stick my nose in your family's affairs. Don't stick your nose in my family's affairs. Sounds fair, right? You with me? I believe in standing up for your family. And if someone's bad-mouthing your sister, you stand up. Someone's bad-mouthing your brother, you stand. That's just called, I don't know, I mean, loyalty maybe? Is that lacking today in Christianity and character? I'd like to defend my wife. And I sure enough hope my wife would defend me. And I don't think that we should go and badmouth one another to others. Are you with me? You can pray for both your parents every day. That's one of the ways you can help youth. You can pray for them throughout the day and every day. I bet you chances are if you find fault with them and you don't like their authority and you think they're bossy and domineering and pushy and shoving Jesus down your throat and all these other things that the youth like to say, who are just being plain rebellious, I bet chances are you're probably not praying for your mother and father every day. Ask God to protect your parents and keep them together from ever filing for divorce. You know, it's sad to see. And I told my wife, I don't understand this concept. And maybe I'm wrong here. I don't understand. Why is it that, you know, the first 7 years are really rough, like the tribulation and marriage, you're trying to work things out. And then after 20 years, you think you're together. And then all of a sudden, after 20 years, people are just leaving you. You know, I don't understand that. I really don't. I talk about preachers' homes. I talk about just things in general. It's sad. I don't want to go that route. You say, what are you getting at? I ask God to protect my marriage from ever happening a divorce. Now here, you youth, say, God, keep my parents together. God, help them never to get a divorce. Ask God to protect them from quitting. Do you know parents feel like quitting sometimes? Do you ever think that the parent, you know, sometimes gets discouraged and depressed and feels no good? Listen, the devil tells them they're not a good parent. God convicts them about being a better parent, and then you kind of help it along by telling them how worthless they are or useless or whatever. Listen, youth, you need to pray for your parents often and throughout the day and every day. You need to help defend your home by serving the Lord with your parents. You know, I don't know what it is. Listen, you better thank God your parents bring you to church. It shouldn't be, you know, I've had people tell me, well, my teenager would be here tonight, but they're not here. They're 16 years old and they don't want to come. Well, I'll tell you right now, I'll be honest with you, you better thank God you don't live in my house, teenager. Because I don't care if you're 18, 21, living in my house, you will go to church. or you will move out. You say, why? Well, that's the way it is. But you know how much easier it is for a parent, a mother, or father saying, get your stuff, get ready, get dressed for church, get your Bible, and you have it all ready and you're ready to go, not this. You know, I've seen it where teenagers come and I don't know what it is. Some of them, not all, they'll sit there. The poochy lip, you know? Is it that bad? You know what? You know, let me tell you something real quickly. Brother Matthew and I were talking today about, you know, East Coast and being from there and things we've gone through. I was raised in a bar, literally, the age of 5 years old till I was 13, on Friday and Saturday nights. I remember crying to my mother at 2:30 in the morning, asking my mother, can we go home? And getting smacked backhanded on the bar stool by my mother. I told her numerous things. And I'm just saying right now, you know what, man, you better thank God you got parents who are at least trying to serve the Lord. No, they're not perfect. But man, they are trying to do their best to be the best parent they can for the glory of God. Be determined as a youth by the grace of God that you're going to keep the devil out of your house. Again, I must ask you this question real quickly. I know it's a very serious message, but I'm going to ask you a question. Is the devil down at your house? Would you stand? Would you stand? Everyone stand. Would you bow your head? Would everyone stand? I know this is a very serious message, and brethren, trust me, this is the way the Lord wants, and it's the word of God, and I didn't compromise, and I'm just telling you in love, the devil can get into your home through you as a husband. Now, no one looking around, let me ask you a question. Husbands, are you defending, no one needs to raise their hand, it's not this show and tell. Husbands, are you defending your home or letting the devil in? The devil can get into your home through your wife. Ladies, let me ask you a question. Are you defending your home, ladies, or are you letting the devil in? The devil can get into the home through the youth. Let me ask you a question. Young men, young ladies, are you defending your home or letting the devil in? Listen, the devil is going to do what he can to destroy your home. He'll use the husband, he'll use the wife, or he'll use the kids. Let me ask you, is the devil down at your house? No one looking around. It's before five. It's not very long, the message. I'd be mindful of the time so pastor can get down there. And I do appreciate your patience. But let me say this to you real quickly. I'm not going to drag it on. I don't drag altar calls on. But let me just ask you two questions. Number one, how many of you here, without looking around, would say, preacher, I need prayer because the devil's been down at my house. Would you raise your hand? No one looking around. Would you say, preacher, I see your hand, I see your hand, I see your hand, I see your hand, I see your hand. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for being honest. Now, let me say this to you real quickly. You have to take that stand against the devil, not your own strength, but with the whole armor of God. And you determine in your heart, I don't want the devil to be down at my house. Now, you can have the devil down at your house through deceitfulness, domineering spirit, not doting on your wife, you know. There's numerous things. Not being willing to drop things to help her and youth by defiling yourself and not getting along with your brother and sister. Let me ask you a question. If God has spoke to your heart and you've been causing trouble in your home, will you make it right? Now, here's what I'm going to tell you right now. This is going to happen. You ready? Watch. I know what happens. Ready? I know what the devil's telling you right now. I don't need to. They need to. No. That's not the way it works. That's pride. And there's times where my wife has said sorry, she didn't have to. And there's times where I said sorry, I didn't have to. But you know what? You know what? Humble yourself. Okay? It's good to be humble before you stumble. You've heard that before? And let me say this to you real quick. Do you need to make it right? Whatever attitude you got with your mother and father, drop it. Whatever attitude you got with your husband or your wife, stop it. I'm begging you, listen to me, and I'm pleading with you. Don't let the devil down at your house. And if God has spoke to you, I pray that God helps you. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that the people that raised their hand, they got help. And I pray, God, they will act on this and that they will drive the devil out of their house and that they will not let him in their house. And Lord God, that their marriage will not fall apart, that their kids will not go astray, that their kids will not fight them, and pray their kids will submit. And I pray, God, that... The husband would submit to you, and the wife would submit to the husband. Lord, it's so important to recognize authority. Lord, I know, God, the things I said were very serious. I don't take it lightly, and I do pray to protect my family and I from being destroyed by the devil. Lord, help those that raise their hand. You know the issues they got. You know the things they got to work through. And I pray, God, they would humble themselves, God, and make it right with the people they're causing division with. And Lord God, I do pray that this message will never be forgotten. And I pray, God, that you would use it to convict your people about letting the devil down at their house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.